style, trend, life in Seoul, Korea only, weekend destination, people interviews, and more you can find on 101.3 Main Street.
This time Tuesday is reserved for Main Street Book Club, and we are once again joined by Charles Montgomery, professor in the English Interpretation and Translation Department at Dongguk University and the founder of the Korean Literature in Translation website, www.ktlit.com. Morning, Charles.
Good morning.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about something that is a little bit different. Normally, what I read and what I talk about is literature that was written in Korean and translated into English. Today I'm going to talk about something that's a little bit different.
Mm.
Literature that is Korean, really, really Korean, but by virtue of who the author is, was actually originally written in English.
Okay.
And that author is Chris Lee, and that book is Drifting House.
Mm. Now, of course, that is one of the ways English language leaders get to know about Korea, right? Through Korean Americans or ethnic Koreans overseas. We're going to talk about a rising star, a new name on that scene.
Yeah, historically, and it's not really a great thing, but historically, to the extent that English language readers were aware of Korea or Korean history, it was given to them through the prism of Korean Americans primarily. And there are some famous names, Richard Kim, Chang Ray Lee, Susan Choi. But, excuse me, but the difference here is that those writers were writing sort of in an English environment. That is to say that when I read most of, for instance, Chang Ray Lee, I get a Western vibe and sentiment, not just in topics. Sometimes the topics could be essentially, or the characters could be essentially raceless as
mm-hmm.
you read them. They're just sort of everyman in culture. And so, and some, that's not true of all the stories. The Surrendered, for instance, by Chang Ray Lee was very sort of Korean in content. But in general, those books, because of the way that the publishing market works in the United States, have to be perceived by publishers as middle-of-the-road type of things. And this is the thing that Chris Lee has done that's absolutely amazing. And I was lucky enough 3 days ago, to interview her for about a half an hour.
Mm.
And she's a really interesting interview. Her stories are relatively dark and have topics that are difficult, and when you talk to her, she's just the friendliest, most bubbly person. But all of the works that she's done, all of her stories, manage to create character-based scenarios that any reader can join into, but at the same time, they're intensely Korean.
Really?
Some of them are actually located in North Korea. This is this interests her because she finds when she has interviews with people who haven't read her literature or perhaps don't understand it, they immediately focus on North Korea because it's popular in the press. But she talks about North Korea. She talks about people in South Korea and the result of the war. And she also discusses the sort of status of Korean immigrants in the United States. And so what she does is provides an authentic Korean voice, but written in English. So all of the problems of translation disappear at that point.
Mm-hmm. How is she able to stay intensely Korean with her writing while at the same time having this universal appeal?
Well, she's what I would call perfectly bicultural. She was born in Seoul. And she was raised in California and Washington and studied in the United States and England. But I'm not sure it's in the clip of the interview that we'll play shortly, but she identifies herself as South Korean. When she's asked where she lives, she says Seoul. And she also grew up then she spent some time in California growing up in an immigrant family. So she had both what I would call the authentic Seoul experience, the authentic Korean experience, and then she had the authentic immigrant experience. And this is her first collection, but she's a relatively talented and reasonably well-known writer. She was a finalist for the Best New American Voices Award. She received special mention in the 2012 Pushcart Prize. And she's had her work in the Kenyon Review, Granta, California Quarterly, Asia Weekly. The list goes on. She's been a recognized short story writer. But this is one of the other things that she discusses in the interview. By the way, the entire interview, 20 minutes of it, is available on the website, www.ktlit. One of the things I lost my track there. One of the things that she does talk about is her experiences in these various places and how the the Korean culture has been moved over into that immigrant culture. In other words, been reproduced in some ways that are good, in some ways that are bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us more about the book.
Well, before I formally review the book, I put together a short clip of the interview that I did with Ms. Lee. Mm-hmm. So if we could just play that now.
Sure.
What would you say are your main themes?
You know, when you're actually writing, you don't think about themes at all, at least the kind of writer I am, because you're really trying to just be true to your characters. But as I was, you know, starting my sixth story or maybe my fifth story, I started to see that they were all talking to each other, that these stories had a lot in common. And some of those themes would be certainly the sense of belonging or not belonging, sex, violence, loss, and possibly, depending on who you talk to, an obsession with history.
Well, Korea, I think it's fair to say Korea and Korean literature, to focus on that half of it, is strongly focused on history.
Right. Well, and of course, with history, there's always the family history and the national history. And I think, at least for me, I've always thought of the personal as the political, and you really can't get away from the relationship between the two. And I think that's apparent in the writing. It keeps coming back. I was a little surprised by that.
Again, that reminds me actually a lot of some of the translated fiction that I've read. Park Won-su, Chae-yun, stories like that tend to do that. They tend to, a lot of Pundan Munhak does that, takes the family and then interweaves it and makes it symbolic of the greater national story.
Right. Yes, I think those are wonderful comparisons. I'd be honored to be in their company. I certainly feel that, at least with my own family having come over, and I think with many people who are of the Korean Americans or Korean Canadians or Korean British, people of the diaspora, there is a sense of a lack of history until you return, and then you start to see where the family came from, why, whatever happened to your family, why it might have happened as well. And as my collection can probably, at least I think what my collection probably suggests is that, at least in our case and in the families around us, this immigrant population, it wasn't exactly a happy story.
Your stories portray a pretty fractured world. Where does your sense of this fracturing and separation come from? Is it all in the history?
The fracturing, I mean, I think part of it is certainly history, but most of it really, I mean, each book that one writes is a reflection also of where that writer is at a certain state, in a certain time and place. And the person I was when I was writing those stories was, in some sense, a very wounded person, a person who was, in a sense, fractured and grappling with a family that had been destroyed. And those stories are a grappling of that history, that fractured personal history, and through that, I'm trying to understand the history of a country that informed and changed all these families around me, because I grew up in an immigrant community of many broken, struggling survivors.
Here in that little segment that she is doing, in many ways, she's explaining the traditional Korean approach to literature, and that is to take some national issue and find some way to locate it in a story that people can read. And so the book, Drifting House, mm-hmm. is sort of a catalog of the historical problems that have beset Korea. And by historic, I mean from the 1900s on, the colonial and post-colonial problems.
And the war,
It's a fractured world of disharmony, pain, and sorrow. And characters are, for one reason or another, alienated from their family, from their country, from themselves in some cases. Ms. Lee creates a universe of people who are damaged, but there's a reason that they're damaged. It's placed in this historical frame. And then she lets them go and deal with their personal fates. And it is dramatic. And sometimes, this is not necessarily a collection I would buy for a 9 or 10-year-old, even though a 9 or 10-year-old could read it. because sometimes the stories are difficult. A daughter sleeps with her father. A boy watches his father commit suicide. A boy kills his sister.
Oh, really dark.
Yeah, really. I mean, this is the thing. And I hope you heard in that interview clip that she's actually very friendly. I've had multiple conversations with her. But her topics are dark. So understand that as you buy it. But the thing is, I think this is, if when you combine this with her writing style, which we'll talk about in a second, I think this is really appropriate for the history. And this is why we focused on the history in that interview.
Yeah, well, I think she briefly also said that she was a fractured person when she was writing that story.
Yeah, right after that clip, she talks a little bit more about her family history, and they were apparently a poor immigrant family on the West Coast. And in the interview, she very politely but firmly differentiates herself from writers like Chang Rae Lee, in the sense that she did not have that middle-class, placid, U.S.-type upbringing necessarily, and that is reflected in her story. I should also say the North Korean part is of her fiction is partly related to the fact that she is a fervent volunteer and worker with North Korean refugees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
So she takes these strong characters, she puts these sort of in them horrible stories, life and death struggles, but her writing style is really, really great. She uses precise details. Here's a quote about a mother in the story At the Edge of the World. Quote, "Come in," her mother boomed, her voice fiercely friendly, squeezing her bountiful three-tiered waterfall of a stomach. End quote. Now, that's just a beautiful writing, no matter how you look at it. The fiercely friendly voice. You know, you've got the alliteration, but you've got the contradiction.
Waterfall of a stomach.
Yeah, three-tiered waterfall of a stomach. She's just really excellent that way.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing I like about her work is the marketer in me identifies Miss Lee as another necessary piece in the evolving mosaic of Korean literature in the minds of Korean language readers. And that mosaic is going to have to continue to be filled in. So when she has success with these short stories, I think this is unprecedented, a short story collection being quite so successful. How successful is it? Well, it's so successful in Seoul that at Kyobo and Yeongpung, it's sold out. You cannot currently purchase this book.
Mm.
I should say you can get it at What the Book, and you can get it at Amazon and all the online things.
So she originally wrote it in English.
All in
now,
English.
The Korean translation of the collection is out?
No, this is all in English.
All in English. And they sold out at Kyobo and Yeongpung.
And they won't be back in for 2 weeks. Oh, so she's really having some success, which I'm happy to see. Mm-hmm. And
were there stories that kind of stood out?
Yeah, there were. All the stories were really good, but the story that, if you really want to get a sense for her dark but evocative writing style, probably the title story, Drifting House. Mm. It begins with a little short section in which, implicitly recognizing the relationship between Confucianism and Juche, more or less, if you read it with political knowledge, you will see that. But you can read it without. And it has, this is the story that, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but this is the story that begins with a brother killing his younger sister, essentially as an act of mercy, and so he and the other brother can escape. And this story really, you heard in the interview, I compared her to Che Yun. This story really reminds me of Che Yun. It's told in that fractured way that There a Petal Silently Falls is told, but the way it's told really accurately reflects how you could see a young boy attempting to escape from North Korea to China, thinking and reacting. That story's great. The other stories that have some historical resonance, The Salaryman. The Salaryman is a snapshot of the IMF crisis.
Oh, yeah.
The late turn of the century.
For someone who grew up and spent a lot of time overseas, she seems pretty up-to-date on all things happening on the Korean Peninsula.
Well, she really is remarkably up-to-date. Yeah. I mean, as I went through these stories, I could check off those things.
Yeah.
Aha, IMF crisis. Aha, North Korea. Aha, diaspora. Aha. And I will say that she, as I think I may have said, she identifies herself now as someone who lives in Seoul but takes short breaks to San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And also in the interview, she talks interestingly about what it's like to be a Korean who started growing up in Korea but then had to leave the Korean cohort, the way Koreans grow up in age groups. So The Salaryman is a great story that ends with an absolutely heartbreaking paragraph of three sentences. Short, she just hammers the point in, you should read it.
Mm.
And even the story that I liked least, I would say, was called The Goose Father, just because I could see where the ending was going to be, which is not true of most of her stories. But even though, even in that story, it's excellent work. The main character is portrayed as this man of invariable routines, and the routines are funny. He chews every bite of an apple 25 times, and he meets a character who kind of breaks that routine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is important. Since 2008, there's been a shift in the success and importance of Korean fiction, and she's part of it. And I would say I was in Hong Kong 2 weeks ago talking mm-hmm. to the Asian Literary Review, and they reported to me something that I found funny that I think is indicative of the success that Korean literature is now having and the success that Chris Lee's Drifting House will add to, and that is that the agents of Chinese writers are starting to get nervous that the Chinese wave, so to speak, may be ebbing.
Oh.
And they are contacting the Asian Literary Review to hook them up with Korean writers.
Really?
Yeah, so I think we can expect to see a wave of international agents.
Even China is keeping an eye on Korean writers.
Yes, yes, yeah, which I found very, very interesting. Oh. And I will see, to finish up, because we're about to run out of time, I will say again, before you go to a bookstore, if you're in Korea attempting to purchase this book, please contact them to see if the book is in stock. Because, mm-hmm. again, Kyobo and Yongpung are currently sold out. Other major bookstores have it, and it is available at all the online places.
Chris Lee is written K-R-Y-S, by the way.
Oh, excellent point. Yeah. Right. Not the traditional spelling. And again, the title of the book is Drifting House. And you can hear an interview with Chris Lee on KTLIT.com. And tomorrow, my full review of the book will go up.
Great. Well, thank you very much for introducing a very interesting book to us today, Charles.
My pleasure.
See you again next week.
Next week.
Charles Montgomery, professor at Dongguk University and founder of KTLIT.com, reviewing a book by Chris Lee called Drifting House this week. And we're going to wrap up part one of 101.3 Main Street today with Amy Grant singing House of Love. We'll be right back with part two. Stay tuned.